Today's message is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to cover several sections of scripture. I'm not going to go into it in depth, and I'll explain why in a minute. Before I start, let's pray. Loving Lord, we thank you for the blessing of your holy inspired word. Sufficient for all things having to do with salvation. Powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out. Never returning void. Lord, we pray for God the Holy Spirit to be upon our hearts and minds, to soften our hearts, to hear what you desire to reveal. For this preacher not to get in your way, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So this is the second in our sermon series on a biblical perspective on fatherhood and applying it to modern day. And today's message is entitled, Seeking a Father's Blessing, Jacob in Genesis. I do ask you to follow along in the scriptures. The first one we're going to read is on page 24, Genesis 25, starting in verse 19. Once you get the first one, the others will be really close to it, so you'll be keeping your finger in that as we go from scripture to scripture. Before we read the scripture, I have a short introduction. Sometimes we learn from negative examples. I know I have. And it is pretty amazing how God has used significantly flawed human beings in establishing this kingdom. Maybe that's because none of us are good. No, not one. Adam and Eve cannot keep one commandment. In the next generation, Cain kills his brother Abel. Abraham and Sarah were the parents of the chosen people, but they were fraught with faults too. And in today's text, we see that the next generation, which was Isaac and Rebekah, as failing parents. And Jacob and Esau, well, they're just a mess. This should give us some comfort. Sounds strange, doesn't it? But instead of being discouraged by our sinful and ungodly culture, we know that God is always at work, even now, even today. And even with all of our faults and all of our flaws, the Lord can still use us. Of course, this is not license to abuse God's grace, but instead, it should kindle our wholehearted love for our Heavenly Father. Today, I'm not going to analyze the scripture in depth because there's just simply too much. Let the story of Jacob be a mirror for us to look into and learn from. Genesis 25, starting in the 19th verse. This is the account of Abraham's son, Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean from Paddan Aram, and sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb." That's kind of a scary idea, isn't it? "And two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the other, the older, will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Red flag. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. All right, I got three bullets for you. Sibling rivalry from the start. The problem of parental favoritism. A house divided against itself cannot stay. Our next scripture is on page 25, starting chapter 27. This is a long one, starting in the first verse. Jacob gets Isaac's blessing. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. And when Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game, prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man and I am a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Remember, his vision is bad. Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau, so he blessed him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him and he ate, and he brought some wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of the clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. After Isaac finished blessing him, Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence when his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered, "your firstborn Esau." Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? He has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing." Then he asked, "Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?" Isaac answered Esau, "I have made him lord over you, and have made all his relatives and his servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, "Your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off of your neck." Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." There's a lot of talk about hunger in this scripture. Different appetites. Hunger for different kinds of food. Hunger for a father's blessing. What do we hunger for?
Yo, comedian Michael Jr. here. As you know, I just flat out enjoy doing comedy. But one of the things I love way more than that is being a dad. Not too long ago, I'm going through some video footage, and I run into this video of my youngest daughter being born. Now, of course, I was there. I actually took the video, but I had never really experienced it from this perspective before. Now look, we're in the hospital room. She's sticky and she's baby and all that stuff. And she's in the middle of crying. And then I speak up. I start talking to her and watch how she responds when she hears my voice. Okay, look, I'm right here. It's okay. I'm right here. We're doing just fine. It's okay. I'm right here. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay, baby. That was pretty awesome. So check it. A few minutes later, the nurse starts working on her, puts her pamper on her, and I'm not saying anything, and she actually starts to cry again. Then I speak up, she hears my voice, and stops crying, like again. But I want you to notice what else happens after I tell her that I love her.
Portland, it's okay. It's okay, it's good. I'm right here. I am right here. I love you. Yeah, I'm right here. It's okay.
That's just phenomenal. Like, whoa. Here's the thing. We'll always have times where we're not as comfortable, probably even to the point of tears, where life is just heavy. The key thing to do in those moments is to be still and listen for the Father's voice, because he is trying to talk to you. And I can tell you what he wants you to know is that he loves you. All you got to do is open your eyes. Happy Father's Day.
I watched it many times. It still gets me. Powerful testimony. You may know the Kendrick brothers. Probably know them more from their movies than their acting. They've created and produced several Christian films over the years. And we had a showing right here in our sanctuary of the movie War Room. If you remember that, maybe you're here for that. A wonderful story of prayer and using prayer to fight for your family. Another of their films, Courageous, relates directly to this sermon series. And I highly recommend it to you. Right? I would tell your sons to watch this movie, your nephews, your neighbors. The movie is Courageous. Here's a description. Four men, one calling, to serve and protect. As law enforcement officers, they are confident and focused. Yet at the end of the day, they face a challenge that none of them are truly prepared to tackle, fatherhood. While they consistently give their best on the job, good enough seems to be all they can muster as dads. When tragedy hits home, they are left wrestling with their hopes, their fears, their faith, and their fatherhood. Can a newfound urgency help these dads draw closer to God and to their children? Courageous, highly recommend. Their latest film is a documentary called Show Me the Father. In that film, they share that all three of the Kendrick brothers received a blessing from their father at their weddings. And they actually showed clips from their weddings of their fathers blessing them. And it was very moving, very touching, powerful. In that same film, Pastor Tony Evans shared that one of the most powerful responses he has received from a sermon that he got was a sermon on Jacob and men's need of their father's blessing. And that's what motivated today's sermon for me. Because of Jacob's fear of his brother's vow of revenge, Rebecca decides that this would be a good time for him to leave and go back to her people to find a wife. That too is a highly instructive story, but we do not have time for it today. We will only look at the scriptures at the start of the journey and at the closing of the journey. Okay, so the next scripture is Jacob chapter 28, starting the 10th verse. It's on page 27 of your pew Bible. Starting in the 10th verse, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and he lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." So Jacob hears the blessing that was given to his grandfather and to his father. This is the blessing for the chosen people. And notice that it says that all peoples on earth will be blessed because of them, right? Which is a repetition of Genesis 12, verse 3. And Jesus is that offspring, the final offspring, through which that world, the whole world of human beings, will be blessed. Jesus is the fulfillment of that blessing. The next scripture is Genesis 32, starting verse 22, page 33. Page 33. Jacob wrestles with God. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. The man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" Jacob answered. Then the man said, "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites did not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. We see in this scripture, a wonderful, amazing scripture, a blessing, a name, and a womb. That's a sermon for another day. Okay, one more in Genesis. It's not in the bulletin, but chapter 35. Turn over a couple pages. Genesis chapter 35. Just verses 11 through 13. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you." Then God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him. Jacob has truly been blessed. Fathers should be in the business of blessing their children. This blessing can cover a broad spectrum, and it doesn't end when they leave the house. The specific blessing for each child and the different circumstances may vary widely, but they all have common characteristics. The child needs the father's affirmation and encouragement. The child needs to know that they have the love and support of the father. The child needs to know that you are invested in them. Now, I'm going to give you a simple example that you can apply widely. You can extrapolate it, right? I was in Brigantine a week ago on Saturday, and I pulled up to the basketball court there, which is part of Shark Park. And there were five boys playing basketball. They probably ranged age from 10 to 13 years old. And I didn't see any adult with them. Though later, one of the fathers got out of a truck parked at the other end of the parking lot. So I got my ball out of the back seat. It's always in the back of my car. You can never tell when you need to play basketball. And I asked them if they wanted to play 3-on-3. They eagerly agreed to play and decided to pick teams. One of the few times in my life I was picked first. After picking the teams, my captain asked me what they should call me, and I told him Pastor Don. So does that mean you're a pastor, he said? I said, yes, I am, I replied. He says, what does a pastor do? He continued, and I said, well, I'm still trying to figure that out. I didn't say that. I said that I lead my church and preach and guide them through worship. Of course, the question indicates an unfamiliarity with church. So we started to play basketball. Well, a sort of basketball, right? It quickly became evident that they had little idea of how to play the game. I stopped the game several times to explain aspects of the game. This is how you play defense. Stay between your man and the rim. Here's your man, there's the rim. You know, the basics, here's how to throw a bounce pass. No, harder, so it's gonna get stolen, right? While giving them instructions, I would ask their names, and then I would make sure that they understood. One of the boys seemed less experienced than the others. He kept making excuses for his numerous mistakes, but I kept encouraging him. At one point, he asked if he could just go sit down and watch. Right? Now, I had no authority over him, but he asked me, and I told him, no. Nice. I said, no. I said that he was doing fine, that he was learning how to play. Just keep trying. And towards the end, I instructed the other boys to allow him to shoot the ball undefended. And after a few different attempts, he made the shot, and the other boys applauded for him. So after the game, my captain, this is called, right? He thanked me for playing with him. Right? He was sincerely, truly appreciative. And all of the boys genuinely appreciated the instruction and the chance to play. Then the aforementioned father got out of his truck and he made a comment about the boys giving the old man, by which I think he meant me, a run for his money. I just replied that they had a good time. The takeaways. Invest time in the children. Time is finite. Invest it well. Be encouraging and affirming. If the child shares an interest of yours, great. But they may have vastly different interests, right? You will have to be intentional and creative in how you demonstrate your support and love for them. It may be your presence. Likely it will require you learning something about their interests. Listen to them talk about it and ask them questions. Be as instructive as you can be. Our Heavenly Father has demonstrated the significance of blessing our children, most notably when God the Father professes love and approval for God the Son, Matthew 3, 16 and 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, first five verses, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Fathers, ensure you know your children. Fathers, make sure you affirm your children. Fathers, proclaim a blessing over your children. Men, maybe you don't have any biological children, but there are certainly children for whom you can be a godly mentor. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Most precious Father, that is how we know you. That is our primary prayer, our Father. We claim you because you have claimed us. You have adopted us, made us your sons and daughters. Lord, we are blessed in that relationship. But there are so many that don't know you. Lord, use us to be a father in our home, in our neighborhood, in all the walks of our lives. Let us love the little children. I pray this all in Jesus' name. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.